Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 169. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got like a lot of the new movies that are out this week, so we'll be getting into that. And just before we get started, I'm not trying to advertise Shudder. We don't receive any ad money.
No.
But, you know, it's something we've talked about a couple times, I think, at this point. I've been probably looking at that server, like, you know, that subscription streaming service since, like, last year. Like, I was aware of it. And then earlier this year, I signed up for it to see the film Revenge, which is still not on there. So, like, I signed up thinking that this, like, brand new movie was only going to be available on Shudder. So that's why I got it. It ended up that Revenge is VOD and then it's coming to Shudder, like, later this year as, like, a Shudder exclusive, probably.
Right.
But I've kept the service since I signed up a couple months ago. And we've kind of checked in on it a couple times. You know, like, is it worth it? Like, because there's, you know, between Netflix and Hulu and all these things, like, at some point you gotta, like, be like, all right, I'm subscribed to enough things.
Right.
You know, we've kind of, like, revisited the subject of, is it worth it? It's $5 a month. And I think I already kind of gave it my endorsement saying, like, yeah, I would sign up for it. I think they've only improved over, like, the last month or so. Like, they seem to keep getting better. So, I mean, I'm at the point now where I really am excited about Shudder. I like it. Two things that they've done recently. News just came out this week that they are going to do a Creepshow TV show, like a TV series based on the old, like, anthology movie.
I'm down for that.
Right? Like, I love Creepshow. I love, like, horror anthologies to begin with. Actually, you know, I love, like, the TV, like, shows like that, like Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits or stuff like that. Black Mirror is one of my favorite shows, you know. So, bring that on. I'm excited for that. And Greg Nicotero is doing it, who I think he basically runs The Walking Dead for the last couple years at least.
Okay.
Or I could be wrong on that. I know that he was, like, he started out as the special effects guy on it. And, you know, he's been a pretty big horror special effects guy for a long time now in the industry. And I think he took the reins of The Walking Dead. I don't like The Walking Dead, but just saying there's a bit of a pedigree there. And I do think Greg Nicotero's makeup work and his effects are amazing. So.
Yeah, well, whether you like The Walking Dead or not, like his...
Yeah, he has a pedigree.
The zombie and gore in a... The zombie makeup and gore in that show is actually really good.
Yeah, yeah, that's one thing I will give that show. It's always been really awesome in that department. So that I think is like it's something, you know, in the future that I'm looking forward to. They also did, I think it's last weekend now, so it's going to be probably a couple weekends ago now. By the time you hear this episode, they did this like 24-hour marathon. Where they brought Joe Bob Briggs out of retirement to sit there, and he, like, picked out 13 of their movies that they had in their catalog, and he hosted them like he used to do back in the day. Did you ever used to watch him, like, on TNT or whatever?
Yeah, I probably caught him, but it, like, when you were talking about it, it did not ring a bell.
That's so strange. Like, yeah, he was on TNT, like, near the end of his run. Before that, he did, like, at least a decade on TMC. I remember, I think, watching both iterations of his show. And it's just, like, the classic, like, USA Up All Night. Like,
Right.
You know, he acted as a bumper between the commercial breaks where he would drop some knowledge on the movies and stuff. You know, some parts of his personality are a little dated now. I wrote about this on my blog or whatever, like, he, you know, it's like this redneck persona, and, you know, like at the beginning of every film he hosts, he'll give you his drive-in totals, like how many kills were there, how many boobs were there, who are the hottest chicks in the movie and stuff like that. Like, some of the shtick does, it feels a little dated,
Right,
but it
right.
also doesn't feel like it comes from a malicious place. And the dude, like, you strip away his persona and all that, like, and the, like, I like, we like bad driving movies, and but like, the dude, like, really knows his shit, and he will share with you some, like, fucking deep ass stories about the films that he's hosting, and he genuinely loves the genre. It's not like an act. The guy really knows and cares about his shit. So it was, I always used to like, I used to watch USA up all night every weekend when I was like a little kid. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, something about having a host, like a horror host, when you're watching a bad horror movie, like, kind of pulls you through the movie for me. Like,
It's fun. Like you're watching it kind of with someone.
and it's like, even if you're watching a dumb, shitty movie. Well, like, what's the guy gonna say about it when you come back, like, after the part you just saw? You know,
Right.
like, what, so it's, like, I always really liked that, and, I haven't really thought about it since it went away until Shudder brought it back this last week, and I was like, that's really cool. And then I started watching it, and I was like, damn, I miss this shit. And they had pretty overwhelming response from the film community,
Nice.
in general about it, and they kept crashing. There's one bad thing I will say about Shudder, and that's, even with outside of the Joe Bob Briggs, like, when I watch it on Xbox, it tends to just like pause in the middle of nowhere, and I have to like hit B and back out and go back in, and it literally takes like 1 second, and then the film starts playing again. But it's like something they need to work a little bit on, whatever they're doing with their servers or whatever, I don't know. And they definitely had to like work on their servers in the middle of this 24-hour marathon. He kept crashing it. He kept crashing the fucking the service. So, all that is to say, I'm pretty excited now about what they're doing. Just between those two things, the fact that they keep they're like putting out original stuff, and just when you look at, like, all right, they're doing a Creepshow TV series, and then they brought Joe Bob Briggs back. It's like somebody who really loves horror and like knows the fucking history of this shit is behind Shudder. So, pretty cool. I'd say give it a shot, Chris, but I know it's a lot to say. You need another subscription when there's
Yeah,
so much shit out there.
I mean it's something I am like and you actually you posted a trailer today of something that looks pretty cool, so
Yeah, some movie that just dropped today I've not seen yet. I maybe have it for next time. But yeah, it's to the point though where, like, I would say my Amazon app is my least used one, even though they have a huge library on there.
right.
Shudder I check in on as much, if not more, than Netflix now. So I just always it's just like kind of my TV watching destination now,
Nice.
one of them. So yeah, it's been working out really well. But enough bullshit. Let's get into the movies. Speaking of bullshit, so the latest summer blockbuster, or I don't know, big dumb summer movie, starring Dwayne Johnson, The Rock,
Yeah.
is a film called Skyscraper. And I laughed when I said blockbuster because this movie's already been out for over a week now, right?
Yeah, it
Going on
came
2 weeks.
out. I think it's a week now. It came out on Friday.
Okay. So it hasn't been out that long. We both got to go see it, and it bombed. So we were one of the few people that see it. I mean, before we get into, like, even what we thought about it or anything, I just think it's funny that, like, the one big, stupid, dumb summer movie that I go see starring The Rock, or, like, I skipped so much shit, and I
Yeah.
probably skip almost all the Rock movies, and they always do, like, a Rampage, I think, did pretty good bank, right?
Yeah, did okay.
This movie did not do you good.
No. I mean it's I don't know what the budget on it was.
It has to be pretty big, right? Like,
Well, it was 125 million.
I mean, that's not
Yeah, and it's made it did like 24, 25 opening weekend,
That's
so.
not good. I mean, look, it's a big, dumb, stupid movie. Really stupid. You could like pick it apart a billion different ways. You know, it's trying to be like an homage to Die Hard, kind of, at least in concepts in some ways. Like, it's a movie that takes place in a skyscraper.
Yes,
It's
it's not.
nowhere, yeah, it's nowhere near, you know, it's not Die Hard. All that said, I kind of liked it. Like, I had actually like a lot of fun with it. I think it was kind of a blast. I don't know. What did you think, Chris? I haven't talked to you at all about this movie.
I liked it. It was,
Yeah.
you know, it's fine. It was it's exactly that. It's a big, dumb movie.
Yeah, you know, but Jurassic Park was big and dumb, or Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom was big and dumb.
And
That movie I thought was sucked, and it was
not fun.
insufferable and boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was listening to Slash Filmcast do their review of Skyscraper, and they were kind of all in agreement that this movie's terrible. That, you know, it's all the things we said, it's big and dumb and boring. And that's where I kind of break from them. I'm like, I don't think it was boring. I wasn't bored at all. Like,
No,
I was having
I
fun the
wasn't
whole
bored.
time. So,
Yeah, it's really stupid, but his, you know, Dwayne Johnson's charisma kind of pulls you through like any
for
of the things
sure.
that like really make it like when it starts getting off the rails, like he pulls you through it. Like
I'm like, I'm being 100% honest. Like, I like that it's like goes off the rails, and it's just like the dumbest thing you get. Like, there's a part where he holds a bridge together with his arm
yeah.
while he's standing on it, and I'm like, I'm recognizing as I'm watching it that it's dumb. And I'm recognizing it's gonna be one of the things that everyone makes fun of. And I'm sitting there going, I love it. Like, I was like, this is great. It's so stupid,
Yeah,
but it's going for it.
it's the dumbest thing, but it's like, you know what? Like, they didn't come up with a more logical reason to like have the bridge hold together. They just had like this big, strong,
Strong.
fucking tough dude just like hold it up with like some fucking wires or something.
All right, the basic story of this movie is he was like a SWAT guy, right?
Yeah,
Something in the beginning.
he worked for you know, kind of like a hostage SWAT for the FBI.
FBI. And there's like this like crazy standoff situation that the film opens with, you know, before it's like a prior incident before the film. And he gets himself blown up, and then we see him later, and he's lost one of his legs, so he's got a prosthetic leg, and he gets this job in, is it it's China, right?
Hong Kong, yeah, China.
Yeah, and the job is like working security for like this fucking skyscraper that's like ridiculous. Like,
Yeah, he's
I don't know
a
how fucking tall it's supposed to be, but they
it's
like
like
they.
they well that's where it's like fucking awesome, right? Like, so it starts out with this ridiculous like a hostage situation, and then it cuts to this like in universe commercial. Like
Yeah, like
infomercial on the building. And it's yeah, it's bigger, it's like four times bigger or something like that than the Empire State Building, and bigger than whatever that building in Dubai is, and by like a lot. Like, it's
It's got like a 30,
ridiculous.
I think it has, they say it has like a 30 story like park or something in the
Yeah,
middle of it.
yeah.
Yeah, like it's not a real building. Doesn't
No.
make sense. It's like outrageously kind of unreal. There's a stupid thing on the top called the Pearl that like is like a virtual reality room slash you could fucking stand in there and there's cameras like lined all around the outside of it so that like it could, you know, project an image of the outside and you could see like it looks like you're standing up like you know, hundreds of feet above the
just
city.
In the air, yeah. Like,
it's also a hall of mirrors for no reason. Like, it's just, I mean, there's a billion stupid things, but like, that's like, I loved it because it is so stupid, and like, the movie, I felt like, moves along at a quick enough pace. You, like you said, you like the Rock's charm or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
His charisma, like, so anyways, so he gets this, as he's like about to get this job, these people start attacking like him, and they're like attacking the building for reasons, which you'll find out, and they steal this fucking like iPad from him, and it just turns into this like dumb action movie where
oh, that whole thing is so ridiculous. Like, this one like iPad, like,
it's the only thing that controls the security of the building. Like,
and they give it to a guy who doesn't actually work for
them. Yeah, he's like a prospective employee. Like, he's about to work there, but he gets this iPad, and he's the only person who has any access to, like, controlling what the fuck's going on in this building. Even though there's, like, also a security center that's, like, a mile away from the building itself or some bullshit. None of this really fucking matters, except to point out, like, there's just sort of all sorts of goofy, weird ideas in this.
It's like, that's like the setup for one, for allowing. It's like, this is like, it's very much Die Hard, but it's also like a mix of like Die Hard 2 and the Towering Inferno.
Yeah.
And like Enter the Dragon. And like, it's like, it has like so many, like, it pulls from like, so many different movies, and like, there's just aspects of everything, and it's like, you know, you get this sense that Ross and Marshall Thurber, who directed it and wrote it, like, has a real love for the like 80s action era.
Absolutely. And even The Rock came out to say, like, I saw him saying it on Twitter, like, right around the weekend that it released, like, that's what we were going for. Like, we wanted to make an action movie that felt like the stuff you used to get in, like, the early 90s. And it's like, that's kind of how I felt about it. Like, hey, it's an original action film that's, like, not connected to some property about a fucking dude who kills a bunch of bad guys. But, and, like, cool, crazy shit happens. So, yeah, like, basically, I don't know. He basically gets somehow separated from the building, and they steal his iPad, and then the movie becomes him trying to get back to the building that these fucking people set on fire, and his family, as well as like the guy who built the building, are up in the building above the fire, and so The Rock is coming to save the day, trying to get, you know, the movie, like, the biggest chunk of this movie is him trying to get back and into the skyscraper, save his family, save the day, kill the bad guys. Yeah, that's basically what it, like, that's what it is. I think that there's a lot of, one thing I really like is there's a ton of, like, high wire acts in the movie where, like, you know, it really plays with, like, hey, you're really fucking high up, and you have to, like, cross some beam, and like, that shit, when I see it, it, like, makes me, like, a little sick to my stomach or something. Like, I'm very rarely affected by films, but, like, when I see heights in a film, like someone standing on something and looking down, you can see, like, all the way down to the ground. Like, that shit fucking, I don't know, it's effective to me. Like, I couldn't ever do that in real life. Like, fucking hell no, you know? So, like, when he's, like, there's a part where he has to, like, climb around the outside of the building, like, hundreds of stories up. Like, I'm having fun, and I'm, like, kind of viscerally riveted by it, you know, like, oh shit. Like, I think they do some fun stuff with the fact that he has a prosthetic leg. You know, it's like anything you see, you know, like, it's anything you think might be a Chekhov's gun is, and it's like, yeah, the leg is gonna come into play later. The pearl at the top of the building, of course, there's gonna be an action scene in it with the fucking mirrors and everything. Like, but whatever.
even like a so like right at the beginning of the movie, when before he gets his leg blown off, like right before in the hostage situation, he like tells the guy to put his hands up, and he turns around, and the guy's holding the kid, and like they pull that back in, like they do a lot of callbacks to things that they foreshadowed earlier, and
reboot, like turn, you know, restart your phone to fix it,
yeah,
shit like that. Like it's like, and whatever, man. Like it's fine. It's all I'm asking out of these big dumb movies is like be entertaining, and I don't know. Yeah, don't be Jurassic World, basically.
Yeah, be entertaining, be fun. Like, no, this isn't like high level cinema, but it's just like a dumb, like, you know, hour and 45 minute excursion. It's a fun time out.
Yeah, you know, I keep saying it's dumb, and yeah, it's just fun. But like, it is a movie that like I would totally watch again. Like, I had a total blast with it. I liked Neve Campbell playing his wife. Like, it's just cool to see her in a movie. Like, where has she been?
Yeah,
I thought that like she could only do Scream movies. And she's kind of like a little badass in it too. Like, she fucks some shit up. Trying to think, if there's like anything else that like stuck out to me that like, oh yeah, we should mention that. But I mean, we kind of said I think the strong points of it. I really don't. I don't have problems with this. I don't know about you, but like, it's kind of like what I wanted going in.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near. Like, I wish more of it was in the building and played with the building itself. Like, well, I guess it does once it gets going.
Yeah, it takes a little while, and that is one of the two like complaints I would levy against it. Are it takes a while for him to get back into the building. Like, I mean, you're probably talking like 40, 45 minutes before the big crane scene that is on the poster. And then once he's back in, like, it's, you know, set piece after set piece.
Yeah.
But there's also this other aspect where they, throughout the entire thing, they keep showing shots of the crowd outside.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? This is really dumb. Like, And just like thinking about it, it's like, man, if these villains would just like turn the fucking television on, they'd know exactly what was going on, like with this dude, because he's all over it. But yeah, whatever. Like that, it's such a small piece of like that.
Yeah,
barely does anything. Yeah, it's just like, why do they keep showing that? But whatever.
I do think it was weird how like they build up this one character as like she's gonna be like the like this like, Asian like badass villain,
yeah.
And then like you don't see her, she's just like gone from the rest of the movie almost.
Yeah, I was actually expecting her to be the main villain.
I thought she was, yeah. And like, it's just nothing. Like she's just a henchman. Like, okay,
yeah.
That's one thing. Like, I do think that David Chen, specifically on Slash Filmcast, like he made some things. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's like, you know, if you're trying to do a Die Hard movie, you need a couple things. Like, you need a strong villain. This movie doesn't have it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And he's like, you need a hero who's an everyman, and The Rock is not that. Like,
no,
he's The Rock.
He's a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
Like,
but like his personality is like a normal dude. Like,
yeah,
like. That's what sells it for me. So,
well, I think you were the one that posted a, like, you know, the film bombed, like, as you said,
yeah,
did specifically pretty bad, in relation to things. And, you know, he came out like said, hey, I took a risk with this, like,
yeah,
but I thank all my fans for coming out and supporting it. All of you that did, like, we just wanted to have some fun with some stuff. And like, he just seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't have any problem supporting him. Yes, he's not that everyman. He's not John McClane. He is more like an Arnold, which, you know, that's a problem some of Arnold's films in the 80s did have. Like, but also, it's also some of the charm of, like, Commando and shit like that. Yeah, they're terrible, but they're fun because, like, Arnold is this superhero and you can kind of get behind him.
But, like, the thing about The Rock, though, is, like, yeah, even though, like, this dude is, like, sculpted out of fucking rock, he's, like, his personality is, he's, like, what you would aspire to be. He's just, like, a nice guy. Yeah. And like he's like that in real life. It comes off in like, you know, when he posts on Twitter and stuff. Like, it feels like he genuinely cares. He's trying to like, he's like advocating for people with disabilities and stuff right now. You know, because he's playing someone with a disability in this film. He did get some criticism from some people as like, hey, you're taking a role from someone who would like disabled, who like whatever. I mean, I get it. But it's like,
I could tell you, I'll tell you this, like this movie made $25 million over its opening weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you get an actual amputee in there that nobody knows. This movie's not making $25 million. It's not getting the big budget. It's not getting marketed like this. He didn't take a job from anybody.
I know. And the thing is, at least he's taking that piece of the film, like that part of the story, and like he's trying to be like an advocate. You know, he's turning it into something positive outside of the film. So it's like, I can't hate him, dude. Like, I really like this guy. Despite the fact that I usually skip his movies. But I'm really happy I saw this one. I had a lot of fun. I think that's, we've gone on a bit about it. But
yeah.
I'm going to give it 4 stars.
I'm a little bit lower. I'm to 3, but it's definitely fun.
You're probably right. But like, I'm telling you, I came out of this thing like, that was fun. So,
yeah.
It's like what I want to see in the movie is in the summer. So it's like, I can't, you know, I had to give it some props. So I'm giving it 4. Speaking of movies I really want to see in the movie, especially this summer, you got to see one I've been dying to see ever since I saw the first trailer for it. And that is Sorry to Bother You. Chris, lay it on me, man.
So, Sorry to Bother You. It came out in like what was on like 12 screens or something like that.
Yeah.
Started, it expanded. I actually saw a tweet by director Boots Riley that it's expanding another 250 theaters that this weekend. So maybe you'll get a shot to see it.
I'm it's going to come to a theater about 30 miles away, and I'm gonna make the pilgrimage. So I'll probably be able to tell you next week if, you know, I find time and can make it there, but I want to hear.
So, Lakeith Stanfield stars as Cassius Green. He's kind of a, I don't know. He pushes for like, you know, he's trying to do right by himself, trying to get a job, but he's down on his luck, not having a good go with it. He ends up interviewing for a job at a telemarketing firm and, ends up getting that job. And it, you know, turns out that they're, you know, what they're selling isn't necessarily great. Like they're trying to push shit on people and, you know, stick to the script and fight your way through, get a sale. And the further he goes into this, the more he learns, you know, the ways of doing it. And he finds out he's actually really good at it. Danny Glover's in it, and he plays this older telemarketer that introduces him to the white voice.
Yeah, that's the thing they set up in the trailer is like, hey, if you use your white voice, you'll be really good at telemarketing.
Right,
it's a great setup.
Yeah, it's a. Like, you know, it's Danny Glover, actually, they go in pretty far into it on like it's not like a white people voice. It's the voice that they think that like white people, when you call them, think that they are like somebody that doesn't have a care in the world. And like, you don't need to sell them this, but you are. And because you're doing that, maybe they should buy shit from you. So, like he gets into that and it's like, yeah, this, you know, starts going further down the rabbit hole. It also takes place like in Oakland, which is like maybe like kind of close to now, but an Amazon type company called Wellfree has taken over, and you can sign a lifetime contract with them where they will house you and feed you. But it's a lifetime contract. So basically it's slavery and like they touch on that and like, it goes into a lot of social constructs, you know, class warfare, unionization, And then, like, so it's all very entertaining. I think the Keith Stanfield is very good as Cassius.
I love him as an actor. I've loved him in everything. Even fucking Death Note, I liked Keith Stanfield in.
Tessa Thompson, who plays his girlfriend, yes, is great in it as well. Like, the, you know, what's his name? Steven Yeun, who was in The Walking Dead. He's in it, and like that, you know, there's all these like, you know, good character actors. But once Cassius kind of jumps, he gets really successful, and he jumps up to the, he goes, he's like a power caller is what they call him. Once he makes it there, things get really fucking weird. like really weird. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Good.
It takes a major turn that I was like I was enjoying it up until that point. But when it hits, there's a scene where he goes to the bathroom and it goes so far into left field. I was in the theater going, what the fuck am I watching? And it all ties back in very well, but wow, it takes a nutty turn that I was not expecting. And I had heard beforehand, like, there's a twist, and I thought the twist was once he kind of moves up in the chain of the telemarketers, because what he's doing there is pretty, like, dark and shady as well. But it goes further deep, and it's nutty, it's crazy, it has a great ending that is super satisfying and fun. Like, but yeah, it's something. It's definitely something else.
See, like, all right, so I've seen tons of people say, you know, someone in the theater right next to me said, what the hell did I just watch? Like, I keep seeing, like, stuff like that, and I know there's a big twist, and, like, you know, and I heard that the last, you know, half hour goes crazy, crazy places. And even you, you're like, it's so far out of left field, I wasn't really with it anymore. I'm like, and I have no idea what it is. And it just makes me want to see it more, because I love a movie that does something I don't expect it to do. Even if I hate it.
Oh, yeah,
Like, oh, that's terrible. Like,
I never fell off of it, but it definitely goes someplace, like, I was not, like, literally, I was in the theater like, what the fuck is going on? Like absurd laughing at it. Like, just like, this is nuts. Like,
I'm like dying to fucking see this movie. Let me read you one of my favorite people on Twitter. He's like a locked account too, so you can't really see his shit. But this guy, Lex G, he said, this is what he said of the film. He said, this is timely and angry and incendiary, and Lakeith Stanfield is great. Also, the most profoundly obnoxious and irritating acclaimed movie in ages, with a final 30 minutes that made me want to put a fucking gun in my mouth to end the agony.
So, I mean, yeah, he's right. It is a timely and topical movie. It deals a lot with, you know, class warfare,
capitalism.
Yeah. You know, a lot of like what we're seeing here with, like, you know, blowback against like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk recently. Like, just like, you know, you guys are billionaires even. And like, the fact that you're billionaires, like, that you don't see a problem with that. Like, and you just keep like gaining more and more. And that's kind of like where this centers on. And it's, I mean, it's primarily a, you know, a black film. Like, most of the actors are black, but it is not like, that is not what it's meant. Its message isn't necessarily, you know, black people are, you know, put down upon. It's, you know, the working class is put down upon. It just happens to take place in this, with these characters. But yeah, it's super entertaining. I can see where somebody would totally fall off that. It.
Yeah.
Though, like, where, like, what, like, to me, I was like, holy shit. Like, I don't know what I'm watching. It's fucking nuts. And I love it. Like, I could totally see where somebody's like, this is fucking nuts. what the hell were they thinking? I'm off. Like I could see somebody falling down that tree. Like it's gonna be divisive. I really enjoyed it though. It's currently in my top 10 for the
Nice,
year.
nice.
I'm gonna give it a 4. But it's a high recommend for me for sure.
It's just everything you say about it, everything everyone says about it, like makes me really like, that's right up my alley, dude. Criticizing capitalism, all that shit. It's like, yeah, all right. Well, hopefully, when we come back next time, we could, if I see it by next week, we'll do spoilers on it. We'll do like a full
Yeah,
spoiler discussion.
it's hard to talk about
Yeah,
like I
I
mean
get the sense. Yeah.
you could talk about the themes, but there's definitely like because of what it does and where it goes in that last half hour, like it's something that needs to be seen to be talked about.
I look forward to the fight between me and my girlfriend after going to see it. Also, I heard there's like some rap scene that made the whole theater laugh like really hard. Do you know what I'm talking about or
Oh
no?
yes. It was I laughed, but it was like I was also like one of I saw it and it was actually it wasn't a full theater, but it was pretty a decent turnout, but
Yeah.
I would say the majority of them were black people, and it was me and
You were scared to laugh.
one white dude, and it is a very it's funny. Like it's a very funny scene, but what they're playing off of is very uncomfortable, and it's like I don't like should I let like it's hysterical. It's fucking hysterical, and it's exactly like when you get like a black dude to rap for like a bunch of white people. Like this is kind of what this scene would be, and it's so absurd, but it's also like I mean I hear like the rest of the people are in the theater howling
Just dying,
and
yeah.
I'm just like like this is so fucking funny, but it's like I kind of had to be a little reserved
It
about it 'cause yeah I was like I don't
okay?
know if it's okay for me to laugh at this.
Oh, fuck. I can't wait to see this. All right. Cool. We do have to get to a couple other movies, but I'm so excited. I can't wait to talk about it next week. I saw another film called Caliber, Chris. It's
Okay.
available on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, I think. I don't know if it's a Netflix original. Does it count when Netflix sees a movie and they're like, we'll buy it? Is that Netflix original or is that like, yeah, it is,
I
right?
think it just makes it a Netflix film.
Yeah, okay.
Because they didn't produce it. Like it was
I
already made.
don't think they did. Yeah, I pretty sh
So
yeah, they're just distributors, yeah.
it would be like when Miramax bought Clerks. Like that's
Yeah.
not a Miramax original film. It just becomes their film because they bought
Yeah.
it.
And I'm pretty sure that's the case here. I think that's probably the case with a lot of their films. Anyway, this is like it's a British film, British thriller.
Okay.
Very simple plot. These two guys go hunting in Scotland, and their hunting session goes very, very bad. Spoilers, they accidentally shoot a person instead of a fucking deer. And they make a ton of bad decisions from that point onward. And, you know me, Chris, I love the thriller genre. Like, this is kind
Yeah.
of my jam. This is a pretty good one. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, these are pretty good guys, especially like your main guy. His friend's a little more ass, like, his friend's a little more like quick to be like, this is what we have to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we gotta fucking hide the body. We gotta, get
Right.
rid of the evidence, but like, you even get where his friend's coming from because you're like, yeah, dude, do you want to go to jail for life or whatever over a mistake? Even though who knows if they would have gone to jail at all. But, once they make that first mistake of, hey, we have to cover up what we did, then it does become something you could go to jail for seriously for a long time. And then that leads you down a path of doing worse and worse things, right? Stephen King was the one that like brought this to my attention. He was like talking about it on Twitter, and he was like, it reminds me of Hitchcock with a little bit of Wicker Man thrown in, and like, don't listen to him. I guess like if you listen to him, like you're gonna go in thinking like it's like a cult film. It's
Yeah,
not.
when I think Wicker Man, that's what
Yeah.
I think.
Like, and then like there's things in it like, oh, there's a bonfire going on. You're like, oh man, these Scottish villagers are gonna throw these guys into a fucking, bonfire. Like, you're thinking like it's gonna go the way of the Wicker Man. Just don't like it. Like, I'm happy he brought the film to my attention. It's a pretty fun movie. It's exactly what I just said. Like, you keep getting the worse and worse situations, and it's a very high level of like it just gets more and more tension, like intense and gut wrenching as it keeps going. As these guys get themselves in more and more trouble. I liked it. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool 101 minutes, so not too long. I guess the only thing I don't like about it, like this movie is getting pretty big hype. Like the only thing is like I felt like I was gonna be more impressed by the end of it. Like I thought the ending was a little flat. Like I think like I was like, okay, we're leading all up to that. Like I thought like something cooler would happen. And you could see a point where like, oh, something cooler could happen and we could get like some action going and and it just goes in this like weird, dark, grim, kind of downbeat ending to a movie that was like winding up. Like, you're like, the tension's going up and up and up and up, and you thought, okay, now it's going to explode into action for like the last 10 minutes or something, and instead it's like this very grim and like, oh, that sucks ending. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the ending, but other than that, like this is definitely a good, one of the better, Netflix movies of the year for sure. I'd say check it out. You got Netflix, watch it.
All right.
Gonna give it 4 stars.
Nice.
And finally, we have the movie I keep forgetting that you watched. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Oh, now I know why I keep forgetting. This is a fucking Marvel movie. Chris, tell me about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It is a fucking Marvel movie, but it is not like your typical Marvel movie. Did you see Ant-Man?
Yeah, also not
Yeah,
your
so
typical.
right, not
I
your
mean, kind
typical.
of, but kind of not.
Right, I mean it has a superhero that can do super things, but
And the light tone and
yeah, it has a much lighter tone than the rest of the Marvel movies. This one, same thing. It's not necessarily a heist movie. In fact, I mean, they bring back all the characters. So, Paul Rudd is back as Scott Lang, Ant-Man. Evangeline Lilly's back as Hope. She plays the Wasp in this. Michael Peña is back as Scott's best friend Lewis, and everybody else, Michael Douglas, all of them back in this. This time around, though, because of the events that happened in Civil War, Scott was arrested and placed on house arrest. His time is running down. Because of the tech he had, though, that he used in Civil War, they are looking for Hope and Hank Pym, Michael Douglas's character, because they are also in violation of whatever that treaty was that they signed in that movie. That's not really necessary. Anyway, Hank Pym, Hope are on the run. Scott's under house arrest. And like weird shit starts happening. So Scott's when in the last movie he went like subatomic or whatever. It was one of the things like, oh, and like, it's what allowed him to he went super, super small to help save his daughter. And by doing that, though, he evidently was able to get information from Hank Pym's wife, who was played by Michelle Pfeiffer in this. She implanted shit in his head that he brought forward. And so the whole movie is about trying to bring her out of that subatomic state, or what, I don't remember what the fuck they call it. They have some scientific mumbo jumbo, whatever. Doesn't really matter. It's all a blast to go through. And they go way more crazy. Like, so where Guardians of the Galaxy was like fun and had a lighthearted tone, and then the second one like went crazy, but it went the wrong way with their crazy. Like they kind of blew it out the wrong way. This just blows it out the right way. Like, I mean, you probably saw in the trailer where Evangeline Lilly throws the salt shaker and she makes it big.
Yeah.
There's like an awesome car chase where shit is like they're shrinking and they're blowing up, and
yeah.
They throw a Pez dispenser out and make it big. It's like knocks down a motorcycle. Like, they go crazy with it in the right way. It's a ton of fun. Paul Rudd is fun. Like, I mean, he's enjoyable to watch. Evangeline Lilly is enjoyable to watch. Michael Pena is a blast. Walt Goggins plays the villain.
Really?
Fun. Yeah, he was
a highlight of the year for me.
Yeah,
I saw that in the last week too.
The movie, like the trailers, build up that the ghost is the villain. She is like a third party that is trying to get.
Oh, you're right. Like, there was a shot of Walt Goggins in the trailer though. Where he's like in a car, right? Like,
so he's the legitimate bad guy in the movie. The ghost is kind of like. She has reasons to do what she does, and they're not necessarily evil. Walt Goggins is really out for himself, but he's a blast. The cutscenes are like the set pieces are a blast. It's fun. It's funny. It was kind of exactly what I wanted, and not anything like the other Marvel movies this year. It's to me, I don't think it's quite as good as Black Panther. I know you kind of like toned down on Black Panther as it went on. It doesn't have any, this movie doesn't have anything to say. It's kind of like Skyscraper in the fact that it's, you know, just a fun action film.
Yeah.
But I think it's like head and shoulders above Infinity War. Like it's way better put together and
damn.
I enjoyed it way more. They do tie it in at the end, like
I heard there's like some post credits scene that's like people are freaking out about.
So there is a post credit scene that ties in. So this all happens pre Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
But the post credit scene happens at the moment of. Kind of like the cataclysm in Infinity War. So,
okay.
Thanos snaps his fingers. You don't see that here, but you do see the effect of it, and who is affected by that in this in that after credit scene. So,
I mean, I'm surprised to hear you say that, but that you thought it was way better than Infinity War. But
I think it's just so much more fun.
But. I'll just say this. I have not seen either of them. I've just seen the trailers. The trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp looked like a lot of fun. Just like the whole, the playing with the size thing. Like,
yeah.
Plus, I'm pretty sure I saw an ant playing the drums or something at one point.
Yes. So, because Scott is on house arrest, the way that they get him out is that they have trained a human-sized ant to do the same things that Scott does on a daily basis so he can be out of the house helping Hope and Hank. And one of them is that he plays the drums for like an hour every day. So it's funny. It's like they hit the right notes with it.
It looks fun. I like the first one. I will be seeing it at some point. I don't know if I'll see it in the theater. For next time, like I said, I'm gonna do my damnedest to see Sorry to Bother You. I would also like to see Unfriended Dark Web. That would be great. But I'm not getting that here.
Oh, really?
No, dude. It's like another one where I have to drive 30 miles to see a fucking movie that should be everywhere.
Yeah, you literally live in the like phantom zone of
fulfillment. I have I have the worst AMC. It's only a 10 screen AMC, but again, do better. Like, get rid of the stuff that's been there. You know, get rid of Jurassic World and put in something that might put some, you know, asses in the seats this weekend. I know Unfriended won't make a ton of money, but guess what? I bet you it'll make the same amount that Jurassic World will make on its like fifth fucking week or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And rant. But
probably more. Like, it'll probably
Fucking, and guess what? It would do better if it got put in more fucking theaters. Like, just, I don't understand when there's a weekend where, like, I don't know, three movies are coming out and, you know, get rid of the three old fucking movies. Don't just, all I'm getting is Mamma Mia. Like, what the fuck, man? Anyways, that's my little rant. So
which might be the worst of the three movies coming out this weekend.
I mean, I would watch it, I guess. Like, if my girlfriend wanted to go see it, I'd go. I mean, I have the pass now, so I don't have to pay. I don't care. So I'm going to try to see those two, and I'm going to try to, before Mission Impossible Fallout comes out,
yes,
I'm going to try to dig through a series that I did not realize had 5 entries.
Wow. It's been going on for over 20 years now, so...
And I have not seen a single goddamn Mission Impossible, so I'm going to try to...
Wow.
I saw lots of, like, rave reviews for this new one, where, the, you know, one of the best action movies of the decade and shit, so I'm like, I want to see that, but also, it seems like there's a lot of love for this series as of the last 5 years or so, and I'm like, so why am I missing out on an awesome action series if I don't have to? It's going to be, I guess, a treat for me to go through them all. And it's funny because I had one of our friends, Mr. Too Fresh, telling us that, like, or telling me that, hey, you could just start at 3 if you want. I ask you, and you're like, yeah, you could do that. You're like, but part 1 is 90s as fuck, and part 2 is like a John Woo fever dream. I'm like,
yeah,
that sounds awesome too.
Like, part, I don't want to, like, 2 is, it's a bad movie, but it is fucking amazing. Like,
I mean, there are think pieces out there right now about how it's not as bad as you think. Of course, there's always shit like that, but
I mean, it's not good. Like, and it is against everything that Mission Impossible is as well. but it is also fucking, it's a beautiful looking film. It's John Woo with like a $200 million budget just going fucking nuts.
Yeah, like, I want to see what that is. Like, so I am actually like, I don't know why I never gave a fuck. Because I you know what it is? I know why. I was never, and I'm still not into the James Bond movies. Like,
okay.
I just don't care. And I think, you know, I've seen a few, love, like, the more recent ones. I did like Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Skyfall too. But yeah, it's just like, I have no affinity for it. It's just like, yeah, whatever. And so, like, when these started coming out, I was just like, oh, they're just trying to do that, you know, the same thing. So, but to hear that, like, people, like, really love this series over the years, like, it really, you know, I'm like, all right, I got to check this out. I watched some of the trailers today, and I'm like, the action looks great. So,
yeah, they're, I find them really fun movies. Like, I really like it. And yes, like, if you're just looking to kind of like get the story for 6, it does look like 3, 4, and 5 are probably all you need. But I don't know. I think just try and make your way through all 5. Like,
yeah, if I'm going to do it, might as well do the whole fucking, like, okay, so 2 more movies that are not as good. Great. But, like, at least I could see the whole progression, you know, know what I'm talking about. So, the problem is, I doubt I'll be able to get through them all by the time the new one comes out.
Right.
But, you know, the new one's going to be in theaters for a while, so I'll be good.
Yeah.
I'll get through them all, and I will go see the new one. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to review it on the same week, though.
So. Yeah.
But that's it for me for next time. I don't know about you, if you have any for sure plans.
I am going to try and make it out to see Unfriended. And I also now have the AMC movie pass. So
yeah, buddy.
I may head out and see The Equalizer too. You know, why the fuck not?
Why not? Go see Mamma Mia.
I don't know if I could do that one.
I never saw the first one either.
Yeah,
so
I didn't see the first
I'm one. Sure it doesn't matter, but all right, man. Well, yeah, that hey, one good thing of this AMC thing is we're going to have, at least for me, and you've been doing this kind of with movie passes, like we're going to really be keeping up on the stuff in the theaters more. I just, again, it's a lot of it is like dependent on like, bring it to the AMC by me. God damn it.
Yeah.
I don't always have time, you know, to add an extra hour to going to see a movie where I have to drive to the, like the biggest city near me. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass.
It's really disappointing, but anyways, that's my problem. And we'll be back next week with more new stuff.
Movie dudes.